You are listening to BensTorah.com.
It happens to be about a needle. And while we're talking about a needle on Shabbos, we'll talk about two side points very, very quickly. Each one could be its own shir. But we'll actually just mention the two nekudas to talk about a needle. If we do finish this sif, then we'll do another short sif afterwards, which, as you see on page 3, is a totally different topic. But let's start with the halachas of a needle. So before we get to the Shulchan Aruch, let's see the background for the Shulchan Aruch. And that's the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuvchaf Beis Amud Beis, says the Mishnah in Shabbos, talking about all kinds of, well, you'll tell me in a moment what you think the common denominator of all these items, household items are. No to other kurnas, you're allowed to take a sledgehammer, lefotzea boesa agozim, to crack nuts. Kardom, you could take a shovel, lachtof boesa tvila, to cut apart the fig klum, the fig cake. Thank you. That's a dafyomi magid shir who could so quickly define tvela. As harachas, as hamaz, like the pitchfork. Lasez la love the katan to, you know, you want to scoot, you want to give the katan something, so you stick it, take a pitchfork and stick it in and hand it to the katan. As a kush, as a karkar, those are large needles. Litchovo to stick in, let's say you want to pull out a turnip or a carrot from under the ground, you can't get it out, so you stick in a large needle and you use it as a spike to pull it out. And finally, machat shel yad, a hand needle, like to sew, a regular small needle, litel boes akot, to remove a thorn from your skin. Vishal sakan, and a larger machat that you use to sew large sakim, burlap bags, lift off boes adas, to use as to play with the knot, with a lock, if you have to pick a lock. What's the common denominator of all these household items? They're all klishim alaptal issers, and the mission is telling you the heter of gufo that you have for these different alternate uses, and this mission is telling you you're allowed to use it, again, it's mukta, but it's only klishim alaptal issers, so you're allowed to use them all for these all different tzorech gufos. What we're going to focus on in this mission is the next if, which talks about machat shel yad lito boes hakos. So first of all, let's just go on a total tangent, leave Hilchos Mukzah for about 3 minutes, and talk about the point that the Mishnah says that you're allowed to take out a splinter on Shabbos. I'm sure in everybody's lifetime you've come across this shaila of a splinter on Shabbos with you or your kids or something in your house, and the question is, you take a needle and try to get it out, and you know that it's going to cause bleeding. So what is the halacha? It sounds from this Mishnah that it is mutter. Says the Magen, says the Beir Halacha, I'm quoting the Beir Halacha, not the Magen Avraham, because he quotes the Magen Avraham and those who argue. Vida, says the Beir Halacha. This is the Beir Halacha on our Simon. Shin Ches, Sifir Aleph, Deha Magen Avraham Kosav in Hilchas Rufua B'Shabbos, not in Hilchas Mukza. The Magen Avraham Kosav, Uvilvad, you're allowed to take out a needle, you're not allowed to take, I'm sorry, you're permitted to use a needle to remove a thorn. David Chabura, go ahead, have a great time. Take out your thorn, but make sure you don't. Take out your splinter, but make sure you don't bleed or cause bleeding. Explains the Beir Halacha. Ratzel Lomar Shelo Yaasena Beinyan Shiyeh Psik Reisha Lehotzas Dam. So if you had this child a few weeks ago in my house. On Shabbos, if you have a situation where you may be able to get it out with blood, you may be able to get it out without blood, so that's a davar she'eino miskaven, and we paskin that it's mutter. It may or may not happen. You're allowed to, it's mutter, you're allowed to take it out with the hope that it won't bleed, and even if it does bleed, that's not your fault. If, however, you know it's embedded in a way that the only way to extract it is that it's going to draw blood, then that's what the Magen Avraham says, you should not take out the coats in such a way. That's the chumrah of the Magen Avraham, who says that even the Mishnah says you're allowed to do it, the Magen Avraham says no, but if you're sure, if it's a psik resh, that it will take out blood, then you can't take out the thorn, even though the Mishnah says you can. The chalak alav, continues the Beir Halacha, Baal Chem and Moshe, the Chem and Moshe argues this is mutter. Why? He says, isn't it taking out blood? Tibamakam tsaira, lo gazur rabbanon af bos ofen zeh. That even if it is a psik resha, it's still going to be mutter because it's a makom tsar. So clearly what he's talking about is we don't allow Yisurim Daraisa for makom tsar. Right? Just because somebody is bitsar, if Pikuach Nefesh will allow an Yisurim Daraisa. But makom tsar, we don't allow Yisurim We don't permit for an issa d'oraisa. We will not allow the heter of makom tzar. Makom tzar only helps for an issa d'rabbanan. So why is it only an issa d'rabbanan? So it's that's not a good word. That's what you meant. Shlobim is chavein would be knocked off because it's psik reisha. So psik reisha is still issa d'oraisa. You can't say doshim is kan because that's psik reisha. So we're not going to use that word. But it's a malach shem tzvich legufa. You don't really want the blood and things of that sort. Maybe another sort we'll see in a minute. So therefore, what are we coming out with? We're coming out with a machlokas. That we have this issur d'rabbanan, if, let's back up, if you're going to take out the thorn or the splinter and it may or may not cause bleeding, go ahead. If it will definitely cause bleeding, then you have machlokas, Magen Avram says try to avoid it, and the Chemin Moshe says, I don't really know who the Chemin Moshe is, but the Chemin Moshe says it is still mutter because you have a combination of makom tzar. And it's only an issur d'rabbanan, but makom tzar lo goes rabbanan. But keep in mind, sometimes you get a splinter in, either in a finger or on the bottom of your foot if you're walking barefoot on the wood. So sometimes it's not really makom tzar. Depends. So if the only way to get it out, if it's not going to cause bleeding, so you could take it out anyway. But if it will definitely cause bleeding, then the only heter that we have is the Chemin Moshe's svara that b'makom tzar lo goes rabbanan, so it's clear that if you don't have tzar, so don't take it out. Then everyone would agree not to take it out. So that's how we'll come out. You know, again, we're not learning this, that's the whole sugya b'fnei atzmo, but at least from this point, halacha l'maisa, if it will not definitely take out blood, mutar l'chatchila. If it will definitely take out blood, b'makom tzar, then there's a machlokas. You have on whom to rely. Fine. If something is not necessarily going to happen, so it goes into a category of the following. My intent is not to do it. And even that which it might end up happening is not definite, so that has a din of a davar she'eino miskaven, which we hold as mutter. Meaning, I'll give you a great example that happens to you all the time, and you always think you're doing something wrong, and you're not doing something wrong. Let me tell you I think it's my favorite case. Shalosh shiuros, you go wash and tilas yadayim. And the paper towel dispenser is very full, and as you pull the paper towels, what happens?
It rips.
Afterwards, you all feel bad, right? My friends, I'm about to make you feel good. You don't have to feel bad. You know why? Nah, it's Korea. You know why it's not a problem? Because when you pulled it, did you know it was going to rip? It may rip, and it may not rip. What is your intent? Is your intent to rip it?
No.
So A, your intent is to just get a paper towel to dry your hands. And now, it may rip or may not rip, a suffix, so it's not a psik reisha, it's davar she'eino miskaven, mutar l'chatchila. And therefore, even if it ripped, it's fine.
Could you use two hands, though?
You're a fafrumta. Who said? Okay. So if you're telling me, if you use one hand, it's always going to rip. It's a psik reisha, that's fine. But you don't have to be so frum. You don't have to be so frum. That's exactly what I'm telling you, you don't have to do. That's exactly what I'm telling you. You don't, if it's going to use one hand and it may rip or it may not rip, that's mutar l'chatchila. That's davar she'eino miskaven, mutar l'chatchila. That's how we live by halacha. Okay, let's continue. On this comment of the Magen Avraham in Hilchis Refuah, talking about taking out a thorn on Shabbos, we have another application, and I had two shilas like this in the past few months. Says the Prima Gadim, again, not by us in Hilchis Mukta, but in Hilchis Refuah, on that Magen Avraham who says that you should be careful about not definitively causing bleeding when you take out a thorn, when you take out a splinter, Yizar Shalom, says the Prima Gadim, Yizar Shalom Yotzi Dam, K'mochin, adds the Prima Gadim, also lito b'machat kotz me'aviv, mishum chabura. A totally different halacha, nothing to do with Shabbos. Here is a question of chabura in your father. If you're taking out your father's, splinter, so then the same concern that we just had will apply equally, just like it applies chabura v'hilchas Shabbos, it will equally apply during the week to a father. So you have the same lumdus. If it's a psik reisha, it's going to be to be avoided. If it's a davar she'eino miskaven, meaning it may cause bleeding or may not cause bleeding, then it should be mutter. If I remember correctly, I think that was the psak. The shah that I had here in shul. What?
Right. There are other heterin that apply to that cake. I mean, the fruit work, the shapes of fruit, and then also you have this kind of plants, you have this.
There are other svaras that one could employ, but they're not. Those are all chidushim. They're not straight line. Here we're just running straight line hilchus psikreisha doshirinskan. I had the shaila in shul. Somebody's parent, one of the physicians in shul, their parent had stitches. And they wanted to know if they could remove their parents' stitches. Just take them out. Take the stitches out. So the way the way the stitches were situated is that when the stitches will be removed, they probably will cause bleeding. So I said, find somebody else. Another shaila I had in this shul, somebody who's an ear expert, without getting into details. Their parent had wax in their ears and had to be removed in a way that could cause bleeding in the ear. So I said, also, there are different. Apparently, I got an education about how to remove wax in a professional way. And apparently, there are different ways. And one of them is scraping. And the scraping method, you have to be an expert to do it, to stick something in the ear and scrape. But that method does draw blood. And therefore, I told him you should find somebody else to do it. Okay.
What if you're removing whatever's sticking inside on Shabbos? It may not. And once you start doing it, it starts bleeding. Now, till that point, obviously, there's no issue.
The question is, the next movement that you do, is the next movement going to draw more blood? If it's a question mark, then it's mutter.
Okay.
I mean, just because you did cause it to bleed, meaning if I pulled the paper towel and it ripped it, that doesn't mean I can't. I'm still allowed to continue pulling the paper towel. If my going forward, it might not rip. We always look. I mean, just because it did rip, that doesn't mean I'm a bad guy or I have to. Nothing changed. As long as going forward, what happens next may or may not be an iser, I'm allowed to continue if that's not my intent. Okay. On that same point comes the Machatzis HaShekel. On that same Magen Avram where we talked about not drawing blood if it's definitive, to take out a thorn on Shabbos or to take out a thorn from your father on a Tuesday, he gets a little bit more into the details. He says, wait a second. When it comes to Chabura, let's not talk about Shabbos. Let's talk about Shabbos. Chabura is unusual because normally, Mekalkel knocks an Issur D'oraisa of Shabbos to an Issur D'rabbanan. Mekalkel. What's the one exception, perhaps, in the entire Lamed Tes Melachos?
It's Shita.
Chabura. Let me explain what I just said. In all of the 39 Melachos, if you do something in a damaging, destructive way, that's not what the Torah is answering. But when the Torah said you can't do a chabura, chaburas by definition are always destructive. So it has to be when the isra of chabura was said, then it's... If you're drawing blood is always somehow destructive. It's always point is to...
marriage.
What?
First night.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Right, I don't want to get into that. That's a long sugya. Okay, so look at just what the Machatzis HaShekel says. So there's a machlokes tanam, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, if Chabura is unique, and that even though Mekalkel and Kol HaTorah and all of the Lamed Tes Melachos is only Asa D'Rabbanan, but when it comes to Chabura, the Melacha of Chabura, there, there's machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon, if that even there will knock it down to be the Rabbanan. So look at the Machatzis HaShekel. Look what look at the fancy footwork that he applies to the case of Chabura to come out with a kula. Rabbi Yehuda, this relay Mekalka b'Chabura Pater, if you hold that Chabura, that Mekalka, when you're causing a wound, you don't want to bleed. I just want to take out my father's splinter, or I want to take out a splinter on Shabbos. So that's, hold on one second, let's talk about Shabbos now. I want to take out a splinter on Shabbos, I don't want it to bleed. So that's only going to be the Rabbanan because Mekalka b'Chabura. Fine, so then I have a kula that it's only the Rabbanan. Even if I did a chabura, it's mekalkel. Ah, what about the other opinion? So therefore, the fact that it's mekalkel, it's still an issur d'oraisa if I take out blood. Even according to him, it ends up being a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa because I don't need to use that blood for a positive, useful purpose, and therefore it will be an issur d'rabbanan also for Reb Shimon. So therefore, what the Machzor Shekhar just pointed out, that however you learn, drawing blood when you take out a thorn will always be an Issa D'Rabbanan. Once it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, what svara could we potentially apply? But Malkan Tzaira lo goes Rabbanan. That's, but you have to see the fancy footwork that he did to show that either way you're going to be covered, either because Makaka B'Chabura is Pater or because the Malach HaShem Tzricha L'Gufa. Either way, that knocks it down to an Issa D'Rabbanan. Once it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, you have the Kula of Malkan Tzaira lo Gazra. Vivadai, im Eshali Zahir, if there's no way to prevent the blood, you know it's definitely going to bleed.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Right, and therefore he's saying, even if it will be a psik resha, even if you definitely know blood will be drawn, he's being mutter. So he's telling you the mechanism why, even if it's definitely going to happen on Shabbos, even if it will definitely bleed, but since it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, so we have the kula of b'makom tsar lo goz rabbanan. Okay, so that was all a tangent, interesting, but maybe even more interesting than the Hilchas Muktzah aspects, but that's all a tangent. Come back to Hilchas Muktzah now. Comes the Gemara, we're now talking, going back to the halacha of Hamachat, and the Gemara has a question. What's the halacha in terms of Muktzah for a needle? We said that a regular needle, even though it's a klisha melachtel, so you could use it for taking out thorns, so it's mutter to use for such uses. What would happen if I have a needle? Shenita charara o uktza. If it fell off, broke off the charara, the point of the needle, o uktza, I don't remember, charara means I think it's whole, the eye of the needle, o uktza, or the okets, the sting, the point of the needle. Says Rashi. Rashi explains what the question is. Ma l'taltala, mi batel toras klimine, alo. If it lost its point, or it lost its eye, does it still have a Torah's clear or not? Amar Leis, so the Gemara says, we have a Mishnah, the Mishnah that you and I just learned together, Tanisua. Machat shel yad lito ba'as hakotz. A machat shel yad is permitted to remove the coats. And does the coats really care to take out a coat? Does it matter if the needle has an eye or not? Doesn't matter if the needle has an eye. V'chimayach pasle, says the Gemara lakotz, bein akuva levein she'en an akuva. So it sounds like even though it doesn't have a neck, even though it doesn't have the hole, the eye of the needle, it has the same usage, so nothing changed. Just because you have a needle that somehow the top part, the eye of the needle, fell off or broke off, nothing changed in terms of its usability. So therefore, it should still have whatever same kli that it had prior. In other words, even if a part broke off from the needle, it still keeps its same kli. The needle keeps its same kli. Okay. Frak the Gemara Eisri, I'm going to challenge you for the following price. Machat shenital charara o ukta. We have a brisa in Taharos, which also is another area of halach where we care if something has a shame kli or doesn't have a shame kli. And there we say that if you have a needle that loses its eye or its pointer, it becomes tahar. What does that mean that it becomes tahar? It lost its shame kli. That's why it's tahar now. So we have a stira. We said a line ago that as long as you could use a point, you could use a needle to do what you have to do, it has a shem kli. And here this price by Taurus says that if it lost its eye or its point, it loses its shem kli, stira. Amar Rav, and Rava points out, it's a good shayla. Man de kamosiv shabri kamosiv. The one who's asking the stira is asking a good question. After all, midal inyan tumah lav manahu, because from this second price that talking about tumah, where we see that it's not a kli, so also linear Shabbos nami lav manahu. It should also lose its shame kli regarding Shabbos. Parentheses. Rabose, fascinating line of Gemara. Fascinating line. Rava here is saying that whatever the definition of a kli is l'shem tumah should also be the definition of a kli l'shem hilchas muktzah. That's a chiddush atzam. I might have thought that tumah is its own world. Tumah is, Xeris HaKasavs and Eilech HaBo'el HaChidushos, and Tumah is the world into itself, and you have to be holy in Taurus to know what defines a Kli in Taurus. And here Rava is saying that whatever the rule is for Tumah, that yes, should equally apply to define a Kli for Hilchos Shabbos. I think that's a Chiddush Nora that Rava is saying. Okay, let's continue. Meisvei continues so we just finished saying that whatever applies to Shabbos should apply to whatever applies to Tumah should apply to Shabbos as well. Frankly, come on, really? Maisvi, I'm going to show you that they're not linked. Machat, bein nekuva, bein she'en nekuva. If you have a machat, whether it has its eye or it doesn't have its eye, mutl taltal b'Shabbos. It's a kli, it's not mukz on Shabbos. Velo amr nekuva, the only time that it has to have an eye, elu inyon Tumah bilvad, only regarding Tumah. So what do you see from this braisa? That they're not linked. That you can have there's a different status, there's a different barometer, a different threshold of what makes a shein kli for Tumah as opposed to for Shabbos. So we have a stira. We have Rava said that whatever applies to Shabbos applies to Yontiv. Whatever applies to Tumah applies to Shabbos. And here we have that Tumah and Shabbos are different. Tirgama Abaya li with the Rava. We have different braises going in different directions, and Rabbi is going to make the following chiluk. Abaya says, "Bigolmi askinan." Golmi is raw material before you actually go to the last processes to put in the eye and to sharpen the point. There, zimrin demimlach alayhu mashriluhu mana. Sometimes, if you have this golem, this raw material, you sometimes decide not to put an eye on it. And therefore it will have a shame kli without the eye. Aval hecha denita charara uktza, but if you have a proper needle with an eye and it falls off, then adam zorka levein grutaos, then you throw it out among your garbage. What is the Gemara concluding? That was the end of the Gemara. What is it concluding? What it's saying is that there is a difference between a needle that was a real needle and got ruined, that's garbage. That lost its shame kli. As opposed to a needle that was never yet fully manufactured, and there it is usable to take out thorns, for example. I don't need an eye of a needle to take out a thorn for my foot. You need an eye for a needle if you want to sew, but if I'm not going to use it for sewing, so if I decide not to use it for whatever use of sewing, and I never put in that eye into my raw material needle, my golem, then it will be mutter. So the Gemara is this thing, the conclusion of the Gemara is that it depends, the use of a needle without an eye depends, if it used to have a needle and broke off, that's mukza. As opposed to if it's being in the process of manufacturing, you just choose to not finish manufacturing it with an eye, then, since you chose to use it as an eyeless needle, for example, to take out thorns from your foot, that will have a shame kli and will not be mukza.
In that case, how could the eye fall off if you never put it on?
No. If the eye fall off, it will be muktzah. If you never put it on, then it will not be muktzah. If you never put the eye on, then it will be a golem that never got the eye in the first place, and therefore will not be muktzah.
But for tumah?
What?
But for tumah, it's not a keli.
And for tumah, it won't be a kli because you never finished it, I think. Look at Rashi on top. Rashi just speaks it out. Begolmi. Golmi machatin ha'omdos linakev. It's in the process of the manufacturing. The golem is like when you say the word golem, like the Maharal Miprad's golem, it's like a clump of unfinished product. Golmi machatin ha'omdos linakev. They're waiting, they're putting an eye in to get the hole to for the eye. Dinakuva. Nigmar malachta. If you put in the eye, that's the gemar malach, and that will make it a real shame kli. V'she'ena nekuva, ena nigmar malachta. So therefore, le'inyon tuma, hu dulo have a kli. It's not nigmar malachta, that's why it's not going to be considered a kli. Aval betiltush sharya, but as far as hilchas mukzah, it's going to be mutter to take this unfinished machat. Why? Because the chazi lekotz, it could still be used for this alternate purpose of using a coat. So it doesn't have the shame kli for Tumah, but it will have enough of a shame kli for Shabbos.
What happens if you have a pointy object that's not a kli at all, but that's usable for this purpose?
So if you have an object that's not a kli at all, like a thorn, like a pointy stick, then it will not have a din of a kli shemalachto le'isser. It will be more chum, it will be worse, it will be a dover that's muktzimach maskufo, and will not have the heter of Litzarach Makom Litzarach Gufo. And therefore, if you find a pointy stick, if you find a thorn, and you want to use that thorn to take out a splinter, that will be mukza, and you cannot use it. This heter is only once it has a shame kli. Since it has a shame kli, then it's a kli shemalach to le'isu, which has the leniency of Litzarach Gufo and Litzarach Makom, and it will be mutter. But in that case, it would taka be asa.
Okay.
Okay. Comes the, let's come back, let's go straight to the Shulchan Aruch and Sif 8. I'm sorry, source number 8. Sif Yirah. This is finally what we wanted to learn today. We wanted to learn this Sif. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Machat Shalema, if you have a full Machat, Mutul Etaltala Lita Ba'es HaKotz. Everyone agrees, and there's no question, if you have a complete, proper machat with the eye, with the point, it's mutter, and you can take the coats out with it. It's a klisham lach to the isser, and you're using litzorach gufa of removing the splinter. What happens if nita chuda or farshala? Then it depends. If it fell off, if the eye fell off, aser, because it's something that you throw in the garbage. On the other hand, v'chadasha shalonikva adayin, if it's new, it's in the manufacturing process and didn't yet get its eye, then it's mutter. Then it never lost its shem kli, it just was never made, and you want to use it for some purpose that doesn't need an eye, like to take out a splinter, then it will be mutter. That's the conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch based on what we just learned. Mishnah Berurah clarifies a few points. We'll just go through the Mishnah Berurah here. He explains that what kind of needle are we speaking of? Humachat miyuchal l'tvira, v'havik kol kli shemalach tol iser, umutal etatol tzorach gufo, meaning, what's the tzorach gufo in our scenario? Tahainu litol hakotz, or shenokei boas hamursa, right, we know about mapis mursa, you want to pop the a pimple on Shabbos, so l'hotzi menalecha, to drain it, so you're allowed to use this pin, that would be considered, this needle, that would be considered the tzorach gufo usage, right? Remember, you're not allowed to take a needle, a sewing needle, and use it, hold it in your hand for no good reason. If you need it for a specified purpose of the tzorach gufo, like taking out a splinter, that would be what we're permitting. V'hu hadin, now there's another halacha that I think is a chiddush, a lot of people might not realize. Shemutu litchov bo es hamalbushin, l'chabram bes es hadchak. Did it ever happen that your hem on the bottom of your cuffs are coming off? Or falling down, the stitching came off, or some other thing, the back of your tie is coming, whatever. And you want to stick in a pin. Could you do that on Shabbos? So what's the shaila? What malach is the shaila? Tofer. It's a shaila of tofer, that you're bringing together two pieces of fabric. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you're allowed to take a pin, that it would be another permitted use to be tochei v'samalbush l'chabron, to put them together b'esad chak. We're not going to go, that's a whole shir b'fnei atzma, the halachas of tofer, just to boil it down to a 4-second point. You can't go in, out, in, out. You could go just, you can't take a needle and put it in and out, and in and out, to hold something together. If you just go in and out once, that's what here is permitted with a needle on Shabbos. That's not considered tofer. Okay, but that's not for now. That's a side point. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, now that I gave you this kula, that you could put in a pin into your clothing on Shabbos to hold them together, keep in mind that that's only if there's an Eruv. But it would be considered hotza'ah if you would go outside the Eruv with that pin. So if you're going to be wearing that pin because your cuff fell down, is falling or some other, you know, needs to be held together, make sure you're in a good Eruv. One or two more points in the Mishnah Berurah. Hakotz, hu hadin, sif katan mem zayin. When we talk about you moving the coats, I'm sorry, moving the needle to take out a coat or to point, you know, stick through your clothes or to pop a pimple, hu hadin shemutal tatl tzarech makoma. Of course. What would be a very clear example of that, or perhaps a different application? The kol shekhen, if you're allowed to move the tzarech makoma, kol shekhen shemutal tatl mitzal munachas v'makom, shiachon lizak ba'in she'an she'beso. If there's a needle lying on the floor, so certainly you're going to be, or somebody could get damaged, certainly you're going to be able to move it. That would be an all the more so. That was a sugi that we spoke about a month and a half ago, about moving things when it's glass, moving things when it's a sakana or a danger. That's not for now also. And finally, the Mishnah Berurah just speaks out the points, v'chadasha, if you have a new needle that has never been finished, then you're allowed to use it even though it doesn't have an eye. The zimnin, the nimlach halah, sometimes you decide to not finish the manufacturing process, ve'ena nokva, and you don't put the eye in, u'mashri le'manek k'mos shehi l'netilas hakotz, and you leave it as is for removing thorns or something like that. However, if it had the eye and it fell off, it broke, aval benita chora o'okza, batal min hashem kli, does derech lizrok osah, just the normal way that people deal with something, you have a cheap needle, and it's a little broken, you throw it out. we'll finish with this point. Let's say on Friday you had this needle that broke. Now normally what happens if you have a needle that breaks? You throw it out, it's garbage, it's nothing, it's mukta entirely. But before Shabbos, it broke and you said, oh, the needle broke, I can't sew with it because it doesn't have an eye anymore. I'm going to use it for a tooth. You know, whenever I get stuff stuck in my teeth, I'm going to use it for that. Says the Mishnah Berurah, im yichdam im ba'od yom le'ez atashmesh, then have a kli, meaning even though it broke, the eye came off, and it's broken, it should be garbage, but if I designated it with a certain usage before Shabbos, then I gave it a shame kli, even though it had broken from its previous shame kli. It's mamash like a real toothpick, and it's a kli shem lachtel heter. And on this, the Chazon Ish points out one very important point. When you have the idea of being miyachid something, like let's talk about a rock. Here we talked about a piece of garbage, a broken needle that before Shabbos you designate, I am going to use it for some purposeful use. Or you have your rock. When does a rock change from being a rock to be a designated paperweight? So Chazon Ish points out that doesn't work if you just designate it for one Shabbos. It only works if you designate it for la'olam. It's going to be la'olam forever. It's going to have this new tachlis, this new usage. Then it has it is elevated and sublimated to leave its shame rock and come and turn into a paperweight. Or then you can have this broken needle turn into a proper designated toothpick. That's what the Chazon Ish's critique on this Mishnah Berurah. He says Mishnah Berurah sounds like, oh, as long as you're miyachidim in ba'od yom, that's okay. Chazon Ish says no, it has to be that you're going to be using it for good, not just for this one Shabbos. So those are the lachas of needles.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.